Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 212 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast for this Anna Monday. That is June 8th, 2015. I'm your host, Mark Hushnez, and I'm pretty tired, people. I'm quite exhausted, in part from working and doing other jazz, and from watching a lot of anime, because this weekend, Crunchyroll, if y'all didn't know, they were having a little, you could call it an event, but they were putting up, I don't believe they had all, but a good chunk of Shinkai Makoto's work, who has done his probably most famous, he did things like Voices of a Distant Star, which I talked about earlier, which is a short. He did 5 centimeters per second, The Garden of Words, and Children Who Chase Lost Voices, in addition to other works as well. And I watched, I think, 4 movies of his this past weekend, and one short, which I think was called, She and Her Cat, which was about 4 minutes, and it may have been his earliest work, the first thing he did, because it came out in 1998, I believe, which is 4 or so years before Voices of a Distant Star. And I mean, it is only 4 minutes. The animation is very rudimentary. I liked the animation. I liked that very simplistic style and the fact that it was in black and white. But it was a very simple story. It's very bite-sized. There was also like some thing he did for some company or whatnot that was, they don't call it a trailer, but it was basically a trailer for a movie or whatever that will never happen. The trailer was the movie. So it was like 2 minutes of just like, oh, it was very pretty, but nothing else. But I'll just start off with the movie. I'll just do the movies in order of their release. So that would be first and foremost, The Place Promised in Our Early Days. And before I get into each specific movie, I will say that there is a very clear theme that is found in all of his works. And it is the theme of distance. And that is distance, and you pretty much distance surrounding love. So love that is, you know, that is unable to happen for whatever reason that is related to distance, whether it is time, a little space, consciousness, age, whatever the reason, there is a clear distance between two people, and it's two people who may both love each other, or maybe only one loves another, or it could be two different types of love, but I'll get to that as I get into each little movie. But that's a clear theme throughout all of his work. it's so clear and shown, just like right up in your face, that is what this story is going to entail, regardless of all the other jazz going on. So, The Place Promised in Our Early Days. This was a story about these 3 kids, two of which, 2 boys and a girl. The boys they're like engineers and are building this plane. And it takes place in a fictional version of our world where I believe, after World War II, Japan was split into two, maybe to be reminiscent of Korea with South and North. And then there's this tower built in like the center of the country that just is kind of ominous and nobody knows exactly what it's doing. And these kids want to build a plane to fly to the tower and destroy it. And they're best friends working together. And then this girl comes along and she just kind of like tags along, and then they all make this promise that they will go to the tower together when they get their plane working and everything. Then 3 years pass, and they kind of lose touch with each other. The girl ends up, it's like a deep sleep, which is essentially a coma. And they end up finding out that her sleep, or that she can't wake from, is somewhat and somehow related to the tower, that there's some correlation between the two. Story-wise, of all the works of Shinkai that I saw, I really didn't care for this one. The relationships I didn't care that much for. The story, that's why I'm saying it, and I'm like, oh, I think this is how things happen. And it was actually the last one I watched of all of his work. But it just didn't really do much for me. I was just kind of like, I'm not really feeling any of this. It's not terrible, but I don't know. It just kind of meandered about for me. And it was, I think, about an hour and a half. So I just kind of kept watching. I'm like, I'll be happy when this is over, because it's just not really doing anything for me. But yeah, I would recommend watching it, but I would recommend watching his other works first, and if those really grab you, then go back to this, because it is slow. A lot of his work is slow, so that could be a problem for some. I don't mind that at all. The next work I saw was 5 centimeters per second, which I've heard a lot about, and it was funny because I actually recommended that particular movie a week or so before the whole weekend event was announced for Crunchyroll, and I was like, huh, perfect timing. And that was actually quite good. I really enjoyed it. I think that one came out in around 2007. The one thing that sucks about a lot of Shinkai Makoto's work is that it's not easily available. It's not... I don't even think there are DVDs of it in the U.S., but they're also not Blu-rays, of course. And that's kind of disappointing for most of his work, except for two of his... I think the only works of his that are available are The Garden of Words and Children Who Chase Lost Voices. But sadly, his other stuff, you have to either get it through nefarious ways or maybe some streaming places, like Voices of a Distant Star, that is still available on Crunchyroll, but everything else was just removed, which sucks. But 5 centimeters per second is a nice little story that's, I believe, it's split into three parts. And you have this beginning bit where these two people are really, these two children, teenagers, children around that area. I think it's right around like junior, leaving junior high into the high school. And they end up moving further and further apart. And that distance becomes a problem because they, you know, before they could easily visit each other if they wanted to, just on a whim. But now the train ride takes hours and hours and hours. And in the very beginning, you have this train ride that is just being constantly delayed. And you watch as these two people grow further and further apart. And it's not even because they want to, but just because of this greater and greater physical distance between them that just makes it hard for them to stay connected because they're not seeing each other and life happens around them, so things just don't turn out potentially the way that some of the characters would want. But, and there's a question of, well, you know, if things played out differently, what would have happened? But it was a very nice little story. And I would definitely recommend checking that out if y'all can find it somewhere. And then there was Children Who Chase Lost Voices, which I believe came out in 2012. And the one thing about Shinkai Makoto is that he is often compared to Miyazaki and Studio Ghibli. I can maybe see that a bit. And maybe in part just because he is well known and looked upon highly in the industry. But I wouldn't say most of his work is that Studio Ghibli-esque. Except Children Who Chase Lost Voices, which if I didn't know, if I didn't already know, I would have assumed that it was a Studio Ghibli film. Because, one, artistically, it looks, I don't want to say it looks way different. No, it does. It looks way more like a Studio Ghibli film than it does any of Shinkai's other works. It just has that style, that sensibility. It has this more fantastical, mystical element to it, with creatures and a bunch of just out of this world things happening, where everything else Shinkai does is way more grounded in reality, even if it's an alternate version of reality. But Children Who Chase Lost Voices, it's way mystical. It's the one movie I would probably say that you could, if somebody has watched other works of his and not liked them, it would still be worth recommending that, because it's very different in that sense. It is very, very pretty. And the story was nice. I enjoy the story. It was just a bit distracting to be watching it and realizing that this is not Studio Ghibli, but it looks so much like it. I think I did myself a disservice by watching The Garden of Words before it, but I'll get to that in a little bit. Children Who Chase Lost Voices, it basically revolves around this girl and also this male adult who gets caught up in everything. Well, he makes himself caught up in everything. She kind of ends up caught up in everything, though not forced at all. And there's this world beneath the earth, you know, in the core, that is said to have the power to bring people back from the dead, among other, you know, richness and whatnot in this fantastical other realm. And this man wants to bring back his wife who died like a dozen years ago. And the girl wants to bring back to life this boy who was from that other world, who saved her life and she just kind of grew this immediate connection to. And they end up in this other world, and they have themselves a little adventure. It's nice, and it's, like I said, it's very pretty. I want to avoid spoilers just because, you know, it's nice to experience something fresh, and because these movies are harder to come by than others, that, you know, there's a good chance y'all haven't seen them, unless y'all were on Crunchyroll this past weekend watching them. But the final one I watched, The Garden of Words, this is something different. And I don't even mean it's something different than everything else thematically or anything. It's much more in line. There's the distance, and in this one, it's age. But one, okay, it is his most recent work, so it would make sense for my next statement to be true. But it is his most beautiful work visually. It is incredibly beautiful. It is one of the most beautiful animes I've ever seen. Maybe it's the most beautiful. It's just, I mean, there's so many points where I could just pause it and I could take a screenshot of that and frame it, and it would look right at home hanging on my wall. It really captures, there's a rain is an important aspect to the movie, because there are these two characters. One is an older lady, I believe she's 27, the boy is 15. You'll find out later that she was a teacher at a school that she stopped going because she was getting essentially picked on. And she didn't know that he went to the school she worked at. He didn't know about her or anything about her situation. So that's a revelation eventually later down the line. But they're just these two people who end up meeting each other one time when it's raining and under this like little gazebo in a park, in a garden, you can say. That's a big ass garden. And they kind of just do their own things while in each other's presence for a while, and then they slowly start to interact with each other, and they grow this bond, this connection, and always meet up there when it rains. He skips school, she skips work. He doesn't know that she is always skipping work even when it's not raining, but they just sort of have this little agreement that, you know, when it's raining, they will both meet each other there and just sort of do their own things, but in each other's company. And I've heard some people who don't like it as much because of the pedo vibe they get from it, because of the age difference, and he is a minor after all. I didn't get that because, one, nothing does happen between them, and it never is stated whether or not she loves him in that way. It's clear that he means a lot to her because he helps her get through this struggle that she's been dealing with for a long time. But, you know, it's not uncommon for, you know, a kid to grow a crush on a teacher, or an older person in general, because he didn't know that she was a teacher for the majority of their time together. But, you know, that is not uncommon to fall for an older woman. And I'm also someone who is not so, like, the age difference to me in life in general, it's not, it's like, whoa, and people will say, well, yeah, but once you have to be at least an adult before you can say that it's not a big deal. And I'm like, so in 3 years when he's 18 and she's 30, then it's perfectly fine because he's fully aged. The maturity level for a 15-year-old can easily be much greater than the maturity level of an 18-year-old. I know from experience there are a lot of immature, embarrassing 18-year-olds and a lot of mature 15 or even younger year old people. So that never even crossed my mind until I saw some people talk about it. But I just thought, and this was also a short film, not a short, but a middle short. It was about 40 minutes. And I just thought it was an incredibly beautiful story. The animation and the art, it was just, it was kind of jaw-dropping. So, I mean, it was just like, whew. I could not, the entire time I watched it, I was constantly in awe of the visuals. and I couldn't not be. It was just so pretty. But it was a very, very beautiful story and a beautiful, beautifully animated film. I won't tell y'all how it ends, but I highly recommend checking that out. It is available on Blu-ray and DVD, as is Children Who Chase Lost Voices. Yeah. Duh. Now that does it with the Shinkai Makoto things I watched. I'm really sorry to everyone listening to the show, especially if y'all are a new listener, because I think it's very clear that I'm tired as I'm doing this. I just kind of want to sleep. But I want to get this out there because it is Anna Monday after all, and I'm almost through it. I'm sorry again. I'm so tired and out of it, and it makes me sad. I wish I was more awake for this, at least for y'all's. God, this is blah. But maybe this will wake me up because of how I just don't get what, huh? Punchline. I've been watching two shows, one that is current and one that is older. The current one, because I thought, I've heard people recommend this to me, and if that is true, I don't know why they recommended it. Because I don't, I've watched four episodes of Punchline, and I don't know what the point of the show is. It just seems to be meandering about. There doesn't really seem to be much of a plot or anything. They just stay in the same place, and nothing, there doesn't seem to be much progression. And it revolves around this character, Yuta, who, in the first episode, after a bus is hijacked, and he, you know, helps sort of save the day by using some power he didn't know he had within him. His soul is removed from his body, and then he's trying to find out how to get back into his body. But the thing with him is that, one, if he sees a girl in her panties, he will gain this, like, superpower. Even in his spirit form, though it doesn't ever show him using any of his powers when he's in that form. If he sees another girl's panties while in that, like, superpowered form, his nose will bleed as it does in the anime, and, like, not just drip, but explode with blood. And an asteroid will hit the Earth and destroy it, killing everyone on the planet. But, you know, lucky for him, when that happens, he can just reverse time because of his power and try not to look at so many panties again. But that's pretty much all that's going on. And it doesn't even seem like he's trying to find a way to get back in his body anymore. Four episodes in, he's just, like, trying to help the girls who live in the same apartment building dorm that he lives in, though they never seem to really interact with his physical form, and whoever, whatever soul has inhabited his physical form, that never comes into play. I don't understand the point of the show. It just seems like it just is like garbage. I just don't understand anything about it or why I'm still watching it. Three episode rule, I should stop. And I might stop because I probably will stop and maybe I'll get back to it just to see what kind of, where this nonsense goes to. And I will say the only character I like on the show because of how ridiculous it is this cat spirit, Shiranosuke, who is just a real asshole and is always like, hey, let me show you something on my computer. And then he'll first pop up You know, in the browser will be this video that's on a, you know, a fake YouTube, essentially, of cats having sex with each other. Or then he'll show the kid some panty video where it's like, he's just messing with the kid at times, or he'll, like, not tell him things even though he should have. And he's just a little asshole, which I guess to some people would make sense because a lot of people think cats are assholes. But, yeah, I don't understand what the appeal of Punchline is, if there is one, to people out there. I'd love to hear what anyone who's a real fan of the show has to say about it. I'd love to be convinced of its amazingness. but then I've also started catching up with Say I Love You. I previously only watched an episode when I last talked about it. I've now watched 6. So that puts me about halfway through. I think it's a 13 episode season. And it is a show that there doesn't seem to be much of a overarching plot. It really just seems to be about this girl, May, dealing with her first love, with this other character, Yamato. It's good. It just seems like, oh, how convenient for that to happen, or characters getting over things really fast, or characters growing from this really fast. It seems like it could benefit from a bit more time between things, or giving things time to grow. It's funny that I want to say that maybe it could slow things down a bit, but the relationship between May and Yamato, it just seems like it's moved kind of quickly, and that where May was, who was this person who just hated everyone and was just a very closed off person, is opening up a lot faster than I was expecting. And that could be because, well, they only have 13 episodes, so they have to do that. But I'm enjoying it, and it's definitely a show with the feels. The 5th episode, I believe, actually got to me pretty good, involving Yamato's sister. But yeah, it's on Crunchyroll, so give it a shot if you want to watch a love story that is less optimistic and more. It's not without optimism, but it's definitely more on the, hey, let's show you a down and dirty romance and a lot of the ugliness of high school that doesn't even revolve all around romance, but just being picked on and teased and being different and whatnot. It's a much more realistic take, I'd say, from my experience in high school. As opposed to something like Ore Monogatari, which is just like, oh, lovey-dovey, cherry, ha, ha, ha. Even when things are sad, let's lighten things up. So if you want something that's a bit more realistic and isn't afraid to get down and dirty, then definitely check out Say I Love You. But yeah, that will do it for this episode of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. Once again, I'm sorry for my very, very exhausted nature and tiredness. But I hope y'all will stick with the show if y'all have been listening for a while. I mean, if y'all have been listening for a while, then I would hope that one tired show wouldn't make y'all tired of me in general. And if y'all happen to be a new listener, then please give it another shot. Listen to the previous shows, because those are quite good, if I don't say so myself. But that will do it. Once again, I'm your host, Mark Kushnez. Y'all can find me on Twitter and Instagram at PXSausage. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com. If you're into the video games, you should check out the other podcast I do, Pixelator Radio, which is also on the site. And a new episode was just posted yesterday. And we talk about a whole bunch of stuff. So definitely check that out. And if you're into the racing of cars that go vroom, 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 then check out Sports Car Unleashed, which is hosted by one of my other co-hosts from Pixelator Radio. And you can find that at scunleashed.com. Of course, everything is on the iTunes, so you can subscribe, rate, and review. That is definitely appreciated and helps out this show and any show that you do that for. So you should do that with all the podcasts you listen to, not just this one. Any podcast you listen to, take a little time to rate and review them on iTunes, because that really does help get them exposure. And it would help get the show exposure if you did that for little old me. And if you'd like to comment on this particular episode, of course you can leave a comment on the actual post on the site, or you can email me and this particular podcast at psp@pixelatedsausage.com. Or you could leave a voicemail, which I haven't talked about that in a while. That still exists. 312-772-5874. All of that info and what I talked about on the show and everything, and links to everything you could ever want, can be found, of course, on pixelatedsausage.com. So that will do it. I hope y'all had a lovely weekend. Have a lovely rest of your week, and a lovely weekend that is coming up. Though, of course, I will talk to y'all before the weekend, so cheers, everybody. Lærer meget fra frakaste. Kunne du ikke glemme det eget, hvis du gør det? Kunne du, du må tage alt. Hvad lader sig så ikke? Kunne du finde du ikke for nogen af verden? Farðu Farðu Þetta maður mín Elska mín Maður mín Lirat kussu bær Lirat kussu bær mér sem þú gerir hvað þú núna sjáðu því sem ég mun gera hvað þú hjartan skal deyja aldrei hvað þú en þú er ekki hjörtu farðu 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 þetta maður mín elska mín maður mín Let that kiss you bad, let that kiss you bad, man.